with Tim and Radio Chatskill even before that. He had a couple of interviews I heard this morning, and now leading up to this afternoon, we had the great person who came in.
Gary Gillespie, bringing that challenge and bringing actual original artwork from his mother, Dorothy M. Gillespie. We made that challenge. By the way, that artwork is still available. It's original art by Dorothy M. Gillespie, internationally known artist. Phenomenal learning about her life today, but to actually have that artwork here at the radio station, we could keep it here at the radio station, but it's been donated to us with a suggestion donation of $500. It could be yours, listener. So if you wanted to take that, give us a call now. There's folks in the office that can walk you through that process. 845-482-4141. 845-482-4141. If you want to take this original artwork, I have a feeling it's not going to last long.
Yeah.
$500 donation is significant, Patricio, because with a $50,000 goal, every donation of $500 is like 1% of our goal, and it moves that progress wheel another percentage point. And we need to get that progress wheel. We need to get to the 50% point this weekend, because this weekend marks the 50%, the halfway mark before our deadline to raise these funds. So the fund drive ends next Saturday afternoon, whether we raise all the money or not. We're hoping to raise the money before we even get to that deadline. That would be the way to do it.
Yeah, right now the wheel is stuck at 31%. And anyone who wants to see that artwork, you can visit our Facebook or Instagram, and we have a picture of the artwork there. So they said we're stuck at 31%, but we'd rather be higher than that. We'd rather be at the half point mark. Yeah. At this time,
I mean, we really need to get to at least 33%, which is a third tonight, if we have hope of getting to 50% by the end of the weekend. We have a big day ahead of us tomorrow. Lots of live musicians in the studio from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Our pool party is happening, our summer fun drive pool party on Sunday. 845-482-4141. You'll have an opportunity to donate from now right on through Sunday. But Patricia and I are hoping you do it now, not just because we need it now, but also because it's time for the local edition, and we want to hear your support for this great local program that Patricio works so hard on. 845-482-4141. Call now. Give what you can as we get into the local edition. 845-482-4141.
All right. Just like Jason said, give us a call here, 845-482-4141, or donate online at wjffradio.org. Let's start the local edition. We got some great programming for you tonight. Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on Radio Catskill, your NPR station for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host for this Friday evening, Patricio Robayo. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday evening. I hope you're doing well, staying safe. Like you just heard, we are in the midst of our summer fun drive, and we need your help to make the goal of reaching $50,000 by next week, Saturday. Like I said, we're stuck at 31%. We should be higher than that. At this point, it was the halfway mark. But I said we have great programming for you today. In the second half of the show, we'll find out why Bethel, the town of Bethel, is a climate smart community. But first, before that, we'll find out more about the Delaware River. The Delaware River is a major waterway and holds the distinction of being the longest free-flowing river in the eastern United States. The Delaware River Basin stretches across four states and supplies water for drinking industry and agriculture to portions of the Catskills, Hudson Valley, and New York City, among other major regions. A new documentary, A Flight Along the Delaware River, Our History, Our Watershed, aims to draw attention to the river's importance and the urgent need to protect it. Radio Catskills reporter Chi-Yen Teng Nicole Chen spoke with Meg McGuire, the producer of the documentary and the founder or the publisher of Delaware Currents.
As one of the few environmental journalists devoted to covering the Delaware River, Meg McGuire is no stranger to being the scrappy animating force behind an ambitious project. She founded the online news magazine Delaware Currents 9 years ago, and her most recent project has been 4 years in the making. It's a documentary titled A Flight Along the Delaware River, Our History, Our Watershed, and it was released on Delaware Currents at the end of May. It's a wide-ranging overview of the Delaware and its complex relationship to those of us who rely upon it. It's also a literal overview. It contains aerial footage of the Delaware, shot from planes that flew along its entire length. A lot of ground and water gets covered in the film's 19-minute runtime.
When I first decided that it might be interesting to write environmental stories, I had never done environmental stories. And the best way that I could see to cover the environment was to cover the Delaware. Now, when I first had that idea, I had no idea, like, how big the Delaware was, where it went, where it came from. And to be honest, it took about 2 years for me to realize that I really had a tiger by the tail. It's enormous and very complicated. And that's appealing to me as a journalist, you know, because I'm, you know, constantly sort of learning and unpicking things. It's never the same. It's always changing. And that's challenging. And I end up enjoying the challenge.
Speaking of enormous and very complicated, I was quite impressed by the scope, just how much you managed to cover in 19 minutes. There's geography, culture, economy, history, the infrastructure, the ecological importance, and all of the organizations surrounding the Delaware. And, I mean, how did you determine that? You know, how did you decide what to include in this film?
Well, you're probably finding out already, if not, you will by the end of this interview, that I can go on about Delaware River. But it was the sort of focusing idea, the framing of it was, if someone were kind enough to sit down and watch the video and had very little idea of what the Delaware River was, what are the most important things for them to know? What arms them best to do what I'm hoping we do, which is protect our drinking water, right? And it's, to some degree, you don't need to know about the big ships that, you know, come into the ports. I think there's 9 different ports on the Delaware. So in some ways, in order to protect the drinking water, you might say you don't need to know about the ports. But it is an economic engine of incredible importance south of Trenton. And although an organization like the DRBC doesn't tell the ships what they can or cannot do, on the other hand, the very fact that these big ships are in the water changes how we use the river, changes perhaps the river's water quality. I think what's fascinating when you look at a river like this and challenging is that it is made of complicated parts. It is the famous river that Washington crossed back in 17, whatever, the American Revolution. You know, so it has lots of ways into it. I think there are people who know the Delaware because they've kayaked on it or tubed on it, which is great. There are other people that know it because their company uses water from it. There's thousands of people employed in all the water utilities up and down the river, and it's sort of like trying to find the very tippy top of all of the things that you mentioned that sort of can join together as in a sort of a crazy quilt, understand what the watershed's all about.
And you paired all of this factual information with just the stunning footage of all, 300 miles of the river. What do you think was the intended effect of the video?
What I would like is for people to respect the watershed and the water, to understand. Like, the river does face problems. I reached out to the folks that were Lighthawk, which is a great organization. It offers to do flyovers with planes for free for environmental organizations. So I reached out to them, and then they started flying. And the whole watershed, the whole river, probably took 8 to 10 flights. Like, some people think it was a drone that did it.
Yeah.
No, it was planes. And this was a process that involved them using several different ways of taking this film while they were flying, and then having to unify those things when they came over to me. And I had to try and figure that out, and where they started and where they stopped and all that sort of stuff. I ended up having to use my stepson's computer because my computer simply couldn't carry the weight of all that. We never actually unified the whole thing because that would be about, I suppose it'd be about a 3 or 4 hour video. Mm-hmm. And that might be a lot. When I was doing my beta work, testing this on audiences, most people said it was too long. And I said, it's as short as I can make it. If you can make our river less than 330 miles, I could probably make the video shorter. But in order to do it justice, it felt like it's got to be that length. And now the video is on my site. So that the whole point of the video is that it's free, that anybody can put it on their site. I encourage the advocacy groups to do that. I can go talk to people about the whole watershed. It's a funny thing. It's sort of like, as a journalist, you usually don't root for things. As a journalist, you're busy being very neutral. But I'm quite comfortable rooting for the watershed simply because I'm quite comfortable helping 14 million people preserve their drinking water.
You framed the importance of protecting the Delaware River as protecting your drinking water.
Right.
Right. But there are so many other facets.
Yes.
Would you want to name a few?
The environmental challenges for the watershed are as complex as they are all over the world. Water temperature rises, air temperature rises. If you think about the environmental impacts that affect the watershed, of course, water quality, right? The nasties that could be in our water. Water quantity, the possibility of floods. But then what's happening in the air? What level of toxicity is in the air that can really degrade people's living, especially if you're an environmental justice community that's very close to a factory or some sort of processing plant that exudes bad stuff. Suddenly your kids can't breathe as well as they should be able to because there's particulate matter in the air. The one reason I've chosen drinking water is, one, because I can only tolerate so much complexity, but it's evident. It's like you turn on your tap, you can make your cup of tea. You know? That's an immediate connection, I think. Once you allow that door to open a little to the issue of drinking water quality and quantity, suddenly everything else starts, the puzzle pieces start pulling together. And you begin to see how all these possible problems need to be thought about and need solutions.
In both the film and just in everything you're saying today, you're repeatedly making the point that we all rely on the river, even if political boundaries or, you know, state borders or other divisions keep us from really grasping that. Right. And I think you've talked about the intention of this documentary is to educate the public. But do you have sort of like an intended audience in mind?
Everybody who drinks Delaware River water. This is a time in our country where lots of things need attention. Let's just make it a very general statement like that. So lots of things that have to do with our shared civic life need attention. And then in people's individual lives, I think it's important for people to pay their bills. I think it's important to look after their kids. It's important to take care of their mom. I mean, there's a thousand things that are demanding people's time. And this doesn't feel perhaps to many people as urgent as it feels to me. Can I knock on somebody's forehead and say, pay attention to this? I'm not naive enough to say that that's going to happen.
I'm struck by the sort of very matter-of-fact tone of the video versus sort of how passionately you're speaking about the river in our conversation.
Well, that's intentional because if I'm talking to any one person or group of people, I feel I need to share that passion because I think that helps them be touched by it. Mm-hmm. But something like the video, I want it to go out there in a sort of a neutral way to be able to speak to all the people, right? The people who, I don't want to use any of the convenient terminology, the people who are shut down on climate change, I want to speak to them, right? The people that are absolute, you know, dyed-in-the-wool advocates and want everything to change yesterday, I want to speak to them. So the way to do it to me is to sort of find some sort of middle ground to have the beginning of a conversation and then bring our intelligence and passion to bear.
Wow.
Thank you so much for talking to me today, Mike.
Great questions. Thank you for spending time with me. Thank you for taking my video so seriously. I appreciate it.
From Liberty, it's Jiatian Nicole Chen for Radio Catskill.
Thank you so much for Nicole for that piece. And on the phone with us now is the one and only Nicole. Nicole, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patricio. It's nice to be here.
Yes. I mean, that was a great piece. And you know, Meg is quite a character, and she does have such a passion for the River Basin. I mean, this is what she does. She reports on it. I remember talking to you offline about the documentary and how what I was impressed by is how large and vast the River Basin is.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Yeah, it is definitely. So how was it for you? I know you and Meg had a very long conversation about it. did you discover anything new that maybe you didn't know about the River Basin that before you started doing this assignment?
Well, yeah, certainly. I think, just if you're listening and you haven't watched the documentary, I would recommend doing so. It is so packed with information and is a great starting point to just being curious about, the river really is such a vital resource to everyone in this region. We really do depend on it. And there is so much to learn about it. I mean, as Meg told me in our conversation, she's been reporting on it for so long now, approaching decade, well, at least 7 years, and she's still learning. You know, she has a tiger by the tail, as she said, and so
yeah,
I did learn a lot. Yeah,
yeah, and you will find the documentary "A Flight Along the Delaware River: Our History, Our Watershed." At DelawareCurrents.org, but you can also find it on our website at wjffradio.org. Nicole is an intern for us, intern reporter. She started this summer, and she's been doing great work for us. So, I put myself on the line here. How has been the internship experience so far with you, with us in Radio Catskill?
Yeah, it's really been such a pleasure. I have a background in print journalism, but really my passion is in audio and also in local news. And I've always really wanted to work at a public radio station, and it's just been so great to have this experience, speaking to so many different people, really getting to do the research, getting to do the interviews, getting to edit stories, getting to write and report. It's just been very fulfilling, and I've learned so much, and it's been, I'm really grateful to Radio Catskill.
Right, and you are an NYU graduate, right, and currently living in Brooklyn, New York?
Yeah.
And just tell us.
I went to NYU.
Right. Well, what were you studying in NYU?
Well, yeah, I went to journalism school. I used to work in nonprofits in DC, and then I sort of really felt like I really wanted to work in media and journalism. You know, even if it's a weird time, it's sort of a really core belief of mine that everybody deserves a quality information and accessible information about their communities. And I really wanted to be a part of the news ecosystem. So I went to journalism school.
Right.
Yeah,
no, it's an interesting time to be in public media just because the way the landscape is really changing in so many different ways. Now that it's not only audio, it's video, it's all these things combined into each other. So it's really great that we have you on board. I can say personally that it's been a pleasure to work with you. You do great, fantastic work. So I'm really happy that we have you, at least for this summer. You'll hear more Nicole's work later this week and also later this summer also. So Thank you again, Nicole, for doing the work that you have been doing and the future work that you will be doing. So you can check out Nicole's work, all her work that's on our website, wgaffradio.org, and especially the latest edition of the Delaware River. Oh, messing my words here. The Flight Along the Delaware River, the new documentary that takes a broad view of the region's main waterway. It's on our website now at wjaffradio.org. Nicole, thank you so much again for the work that you do, and thank you so much for coming onto the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
And we'll be right back. We'll be finding out why the Bethel town is considered a climate smart community. And that's coming up for you right now on the local edition. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Don't forget, it's a summer fun drive. Donate at wjaffradio.org or call us at 845-422-4141.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. This leaves most counties with little or no access to local news and information, and even more are at risk of losing their last local news source. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to this station.
Support the news and information you rely on. Donate now at wjffradio.org.
Welcome back to The Local Edition, your NPR station for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host for this Friday evening, Patricio Robayo. Don't forget, it's our summer fun drive. Give us a call here at 845-482-4141 or donate online at wjffradio.org. The town of Bethel has been recertified as a Bronze Standard Climate Smart Community by the Department of Environmental Conservation as part of New York State's Climate Smart Community Program, which supports local efforts to meet the economic, social, and environmental challenges posed by climate change. Bethel is just one of the 23 municipalities being recognized or taking action to mitigate and adapt to climate change. Reporter Marion Scotton is joined by Bethel Town Supervisor Darren Stern to hear about the Bethel's climate-friendly initiatives and projects that have been they have been working on for the past 10 years and has earned them this prestigious award.
So it actually started way back when, about 2008 or 9, we had what was called a Bethel Green Committee, where we formed a committee just to look at the different things, energy efficiency, use of energy in town buildings, our fleet of vehicles that we have. They look at environmental issues. So over the years, the committee has morphed. It's now called Sustainable Bethel. That's what it's called now. And they've done a lot of work over the years. Their main goal is to review possibilities to help the environment and then make suggestions to the town board, pretty much. So they've been doing that. We've been very successful, which has then in turn led to the clean energy community that we've now been recertified as a bronze. We originally got bronze a few years ago. We were the 20th municipality in New York State to be certified bronze.
Okay.
And then they actually, it only lasts, I think, 5 years or something. So we had to get recertified. So you have to do other, you know, they don't just hand it to you again. We had to do quite a bit, you know, just to get recertified.
And what were some of the things you had to do to get recertified?
There was, we did different things. We did a fleet policy, green energy policy for town buildings, you know, those kind of things. You know, to be more, you know, at the town board level, we had to do some of that. But overall, if I can just tell you a couple of things that we did to get certified. The most important ones was the, for example, we did LED lights. In the town of Bethel, we have 180 town-owned streetlights. We changed them all to LEDs about 2 or 3 years ago. it probably took us 5 years to study it, you know, the pros and the cons.
Mm-hmm.
But we changed all of our town lights to street, I'm sorry, to LEDs. Our savings went from $30,000 a year to like six in energy usage. Again, we had to do a bond to pay for it, which we're paying for, but we're paying for it out of the savings. So that's huge. It helps the environment. It helps greenhouse gas emissions. It helps, you know, our bills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are, that's one of the main things that we did. The second big one, I think, is the landfill. We have a landfill, used to be a town dump years ago. And now it's just a transfer station, you know, for recyclables and things. We had extra space there, you know, and so we did a solar project on that landfill. It's up and running right now. Huge solar project. And that gives us specifically, right, 10% off of all town electric bills because we're getting electric from the solar field. And also we get a check every year for leasing the space. I think it's $28,000 a year to the town of Bethel.
Cool.
Just releasing them the space. And it's also the county gets some money and the school districts and special districts get money, you know, out of it also.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two big ones that we did.
So it sounds like you guys have been working on sustainable initiatives like this for a while now. What has the reception been like from the community?
I think, one of the benefits is, we had like a, for example, the solar project. We had to do a community campaign where we actually went out to different events, Lions Club and music events. We had a station there where we would hand out a flyer of the benefits of solar, like buying solar from our solar energy deal, that we subscribed to that got built. So it was like a solar campaign, a public campaign. And what that does, I think I've noticed, it gives people some buy-in, right? Like, you know, they buy into what the town is doing. They save money on their own because they could sign up for the solar also. Any business or resident could sign up. So it kind of works both ways. It gives them a, like a stake, you know, in the future of the town. And then I think it looks good to be climate, you know, efficient.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. How did it feel when you got the, when you found out that you got recertified as the bronze standard?
It was a lot of work, but we were very proud of the fact that, you know, we did it 5 years ago. We got the points. We got the, you know, accolades. We got the plaques, you know, they give you plaques. But just to get recertified means that we're still, you know, vested in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you some, just if I can, a couple specific.
Yeah, of course.
We have two new projects. We have a new highway garage that we're building. We applied for grants, you know, state grants and NYSERDA grants, they're called. The fact that we're a clean energy community gave us more points. So we were able to get about, say, $200,000 in energy efficient dollars, you know, towards the garage and also the town hall. We're redoing the town hall because it's a little cramped in here. It's, you know, outdated. We're redoing it, and so that gave us another $200,000 thereabouts in just money for the energy improvements.
Right. So like you put in this hard work to build this reputation as a clean energy community. And now, like, I'm sure it's easier to get projects implemented because of that going forward.
It is. And I could demonstrate, which is important, that, hey, wait, this is where the money savings are. You know, mm-hmm. This is how much we save in electric. This is how much we save by buying. I'll give you just two more examples if I can.
Yeah.
We have a green car, an EV. Green car that we bought about 5 or 6 years ago, all electric.
Cool.
I mean, we use it for going to the bank, going to the post office. You know, the staff use it. It says Town of Bethel on the side. So it kind of sets an example. We also, one more thing, we have an EV charging station that we did that got us some points. Anything I'm telling you kind of got us some points.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Maren, for that talk about the Bethel climate community. That does it for the local edition. Don't forget, the Summer Fun Drive is still happening. Give us a call here, 845-482-4141, or donate online at wjffradio.org. Coming up for you is the Daily, and then tonight, starting at 7, is a two-hour special of the mixtape with Jason Tugar live in studio. Make sure you tune in. Check out social media. There will be some live feeds going on there. Visit our website, wjffradio.org, to donate to our summer fun drive. Thank you so much. I've been your host for this Friday evening. For the local edition, Patricio Robayo. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, have a good night. And stay tuned. No, don't have a good night. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.